Welcome to the Advice for Ambition podcast, Life's Lessons on One Place. I'm your host, Sandra Liu, and in this podcast, we'll be interviewing people in various walks of life, various stages of their life, and various careers. I hope this podcast will be a way for you, the listener, to be able to find your inspiration and your aspirations in life. Thank you for listening, and let's get right into the episode. Welcome back to today's podcast, and today we'll be hearing from Jane Chen, who is a civil engineer for the city of Philadelphia. Jane is just, in general, an awesome human being and a really positive person to be around, and today she's going to share a little bit about her background on how she grew up, as well as how she ended up in her civil engineering major. Jane also shares some really good advice from her great aunt about not being afraid to do the dirty work and not being afraid to put in the hard work for your goals and your dreams. So without further ado, here's Jane Chen.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for joining the call today. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Can you start by telling me about yourself and anything from your backgrounds or interests?
Yeah, so I was born in New York City, and then towards the end of my elementary school years, I moved to Oregon, and then I finished my elementary school and middle school there, and then I went to Philadelphia, and that's where I went to college, and that's where I currently still am. So for the majority of my childhood, I want to say like the most important years that shaped my personality were probably in middle school. So before I moved to Oregon, I was in New York City, and I was surrounded by primarily Asian kids because I did grow up in a Chinatown. And then moving to Oregon, I think there was only like one or two other Asian kids in my school. So that was really different. I got to experience racism for the first time in my life. So yeah, that was something.
How much do you think being an Asian American, being a minority, impacted your mindset or I guess your character?
It definitely did a little bit. Being like one of the only Asian kids in school, it felt like people just looked at you more because you were different. But I want to say that in terms of mindset, I mean, there was always the Asian stereotypes where like Asians are good at math, this and that. And I think other than that, there wasn't much impact.
I know you're one of those people who really put in the work when it comes to academics or life in general. So can you tell me a bit about your college journey and how you chose to be a civil engineer?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I did think that being an engineer would suit me well because I was very interested in the mechanics of how things work, but I wasn't sure if I was up to it. And my high school teachers didn't really have a lot of faith in me. Yeah, that's pretty sad. But I went to, under the guidance of my counselor, I did go to community college first. So I went there for 2 years for biochem. That was also under the suggestion of someone else. I forget if it was my high school counselor or if it was my grandparents. But my grandparents did discourage me from pursuing engineering because they thought that being a female in a male-dominated field was something that would make my life difficult in the future in terms of opportunity.
I actually thought your Asian parents or grandparents would be more for you going into engineering because isn't that something for them to brag about? Oh, my granddaughter is so smart.
I think it might be something in China, but being an engineer is not that respected of a profession. They said I was stupid for not pursuing the medical field. So yeah, that's kind of typical.
Damn.
After 2 years at community college, it was time to transfer. And I decided to transfer. I applied to university as a civil engineer major. And yeah, I got accepted at Temple University. And I did 3.5 years there. During community college and university, I did have part-time jobs throughout the way. And that really did help me pay for rent and college. My parents also helped me pay for college. My dad did contribute financially to my tuition and rent. So that was really helpful, and I am grateful for that.
Do you think being a first-generation college student, as well as having parents who are immigrants, affected your outlook in your college career? Or even after you graduated? Like, do you think that impacts you?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think a lot of Asian parents are under the illusion that once you get a college degree, once you find a job, you're going to be like making $1 million or something. Because I told my parents my salary, what I was going to start out as. And they were like, that's it? I make more working at a restaurant. They don't understand that, like, you got to slowly like build up your salary. In terms of the impact of having first generation or being a first generation American going to college, I think being a first generation American going to college does have some of its difficulties that other kids that aren't first generation wouldn't really necessarily think about. For example, like just filling out the FAFSA, applying for college, those like the process of doing that, your parents can't really give you guidance. Because my parents didn't speak English and they didn't really know how college worked. I imagine that if I have kids in the future, their lives would be a little easier.
By the time you started your college career, what did you expect and how do you think it has made out so far against your expectations?
So when I was in high school, I was in this program, the IB program, stands for International Baccalaureate. And our teachers in high school always stress that, yeah, the work is harder, but it's really going to prepare you for college. I get to college and wow, it's like completely the opposite. I think college, I didn't really expect it to be, I didn't expect it to be so independent in the sense that you really have to like manage your own time. You really have to make yourself get up for class. And yeah, you know, compared to high school where like your teacher is just like, oh yeah, did you turn in your homework? Oh yeah, don't forget you have to make up this quiz. But, you know, in college, it's like, oh, you don't want to make up your quiz? That's a zero. But I want to say comparing community college to university was definitely very different. I feel like, I don't know if this is true with every community college or just my experience, but I did feel that community college was more lenient compared to university. I just feel like community college, a lot of people already have jobs or they have obligations in their life that they have to attend to. So college professors understand that things get in the way, things come up. But compared to university, I feel like professors are less understanding and deadlines are more rigid.
Tying back to what you said about your grandma or your grandparents or your family thinking that engineering is a bad role for a woman, have you ever had any negative experiences as a female engineer in a male-dominated field? Whether it was as a student or in your current role?
When I was in college, I have heard of, I don't want to say horror stories, but I did hear of bad experiences from other females. But luckily, I haven't experienced anything that I would think is extraordinary, like compared to male students. But I did, this one experience really did stand out to me. So our school does this thing called like ice cream socials, where in the beginning of the semester, all these clubs, they like set up like tables, like booths to like try to advertise, to try to get people to join the club. And then the school provides ice cream. So that's like an incentive to go to these like events. So there was one time where I went up to a booth and then, or it was multiple too, it wasn't just one, but I would go and then I would be like, oh, this is so interesting. Can you tell me a little bit about what this club is about? And they would just kind of like be like, yeah, we're this organization or we're this association and we do this and we meet on Wednesdays. If you're interested, you can sign the sign-in sheet. And I was just like, okay, that didn't seem very enthusiastic. And then I like left to another booth and this male student came up to them and they were so enthusiastic about like advertising, like, yeah, you should really join us. Like we have all of this going on and we have these events and that. And I just felt some type of way. But then at the same time, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I don't know if I should really attribute that to me being a female, or I don't think I come off as like the most enthusiastic about engineering in my day-to-day life. So that could be it. So yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, I think that might be it, because I've been told that a lot of people when they first meet me and they don't expect me to, you know, be in engineering. So that might be it. They might think, I don't know, maybe I was thinking maybe these people thought I was like from another college and I'm just here for the ice cream. But in my current role, I'm very fortunate that a lot of the engineers in our in our office are minorities. Like, we have a lot of people in, like, other races, and we do have a few female engineers. So I've never felt that I was, like, singled out, or, like, I was picked on, or I was, you know, I'm disadvantaged in any way for being a female.
I guess segue into that. Can you tell me a bit about your current role or your current day job and what your day-to-day looks like? Because I actually don't really know what a civil engineer does on a day-to-day.
Oh, that's pretty interesting, because every time I get asked that question, I have a hard time explaining it. When people think of civil engineering, they usually think of, like, you know, people building buildings mm-hmm. and, like, structures. I'm not a structural engineer. So I actually work in transportation engineering. It just happens to be that the majority of transportation engineers do work for the government. Like, in our state, we have the PennDOT, Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, and then working for the municipal. Yeah, I want to say the majority of transportation engineers, or at least almost every transportation engineer I've met, have been employed by some type of government facility. So yeah, my job, a lot of it entails me working with AutoCAD. If you have been to Philadelphia, I'm sure you are familiar with these things we call potholes. And it's yeah. kind of our job to fix them. Not really fix them, but more like choose to dig up the entire, like, segment of the road and, like, repave. So yeah, most of our job is repaving. So the process of repaving is actually quite more difficult than you would imagine. So what happens is the engineer first has to draft up the plans, so how the road would look like and all the pavement markings that go on the road. And then you make an estimate. You have to choose the company, or actually you make the estimate and you bid it out, and then a company can, like, pick up the bid, like, I'll do it for, like, this amount of money type thing. And then they will take the job and they will do it. But then there's actually a lot of, like, back and forth, as you would expect with the bureaucracy. But yeah, I'm going to say most of the time I sit at a desk. That is my experience in transportation engineering. But I do hear that a lot of my friends that are in construction engineering or structural, they do go out in the field a lot and they, like, inspect the site.
Can you tell me what AutoCAD is? Because I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it's for. Is it kind of like Photoshop, but then 3D?
Oh, so AutoCAD is this program made by a company called Autodesk. I want to say Autodesk is probably one of the competitors of Adobe. I'm sure you guys are all familiar. Autodesk makes a software that a lot of engineers use. So for civils, we use AutoCAD a lot, and CAD just stands for computer aided drawings, I believe, which is basically a 2D program. There is a 3D aspect of it. So when you're drawing, it's mostly in, like, a flat plane, but there's a little thing in the corner, like a compass, where you could turn it so that you could make 3D drawings. But I'm going to say that most people that want to make 3D drawings usually choose another software. I believe a really popular one is SolidWorks, which is made by another company. We don't usually use SolidWorks. And for us in transportation, since we are mostly dealing with, like, 2D drawings, because, you know, the bird's eye view. So yeah, we don't really do 3D. The role that AutoCAD plays is, so we make these plans, and then, like, the plans are the drawings that we make. We call them plans. We draw basically what the street will look like after the street has been paved. It's not, like, you know, a fancy drawing. It's just like kind of like a skeleton almost of what the street will look like from top down. So you'll see, like, you know, the sidewalk outlined, and then you'll see the crosswalks where they're supposed to be painted, and the pavement markings. And the plans are just to ensure that it usually reflects what the street looks like before it's been dug up. But sometimes we do make little changes. Like, for example, if there is an issue with, like, one of the streets, like, oh, people keep getting hit at this crosswalk.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and people jaywalking. Sometimes what they'll do is they'll, like, change the way that the crosswalk and the stop bar is positioned, and that could in turn prevent some accidents, or at least reduce the number of pedestrians being struck by vehicles.
Jane, you're like a civil hero protecting the streets of Philadelphia. Is there anyone in your life that really inspired you or helped you become who you are today?
Yeah, if I have to think of one person that really changed my life, so to say, I would say the aunt that I lived with when I was in middle school. So I grew up in Oregon. Well, I didn't grow up in Oregon. I moved to Oregon after elementary school, like I previously mentioned. And during that time, the majority of the time there, I actually spent with my great aunt, which is my dad's sister. Yeah, I think in English it might be a cousin twice removed or something, or aunt once removed. So my aunt said, don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. And we did work at a restaurant at the time. So I think what she meant was, don't be afraid to like get your hands wet and like wipe the counter or mop the floor and stuff. But to me, it meant like, don't be afraid to work hard. And sometimes it's necessary to like touch the dirty things. Not as in like start selling drugs, like get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
But like, don't be afraid to like do the dirty work. Like, for example, if you share, like, an apartment with a bunch of people, don't be afraid to be the one to do the cleaning. Even though, now that I, after growing up a little more and actually dealing with people like that in real life, I think it's really important to set your boundaries. Like, you can't always be the one getting your hand dirty because no one else wants to get their hand dirty either. So, yeah, don't let people take advantage of you, but that was really good advice.
If there's one lesson in your life you wish you learned earlier that you'd like to share with our listeners, what would that be?
One of the lessons I learned earlier in life during college is that college is one of the most exciting times of your life. You know how people say college is like the best time of your life or the happiest time of your life? Okay, that is definitely not true. Because I did not have a happy time in college.
Oh
but
my God.
I do have to say that college is very, very exciting because you don't think about this, but every day there's so many things that could happen. Like after class, you could go speak to a professor. You could go meet a new person. You can plan your own day, even though there is, it's like the perfect amount of structure. You know, you can go to class. Yeah, there's things you definitely have to do, like, you know, go to class at the same time. But then after that, you're really free to do whatever you want. There's so many possibilities. And you're surrounded by so many like-minded people that have the same possibilities. You guys can go meet each other. It's so fun and interesting. And you don't realize this until you have a desk job. And then you're just like, oh my God, every day is the same thing. I'm so bored. Yeah. And also, I think especially the age you're at in college, it's like you're just starting to grasp your own moral compass and like the ways that society expects you to behave and what's appropriate and what's not. It's like you're starting to grasp it. You're not quite an adult yet. No one's expecting you to be an adult, but it's like you're an adult without the adult responsibilities. Not just like financial responsibilities, like not just like, you know, because some people already have rent to pay. It's the fact that like you're not expected to act like an adult yet, but then you're at that age where you have so many things, so many possibilities, you know, so much control over your own life. So yeah, it's a beautiful time. But if I have to give like a very general advice, I would say do what you want to do, because a lot of regrets later on are from things that you could have done and you didn't do, versus like I've never said that I regret doing this. It's more like I regret not doing this. And yeah, I think that's it. Just don't YOLO it, but live carefully and meaningfully. Adding on to what I said before, as long as you don't make a bad permanent decision, like committing a crime and getting arrested and like something that'll be put on your record forever, I feel like if you want to do it, do it. If you want to go get a tattoo, go ahead. Because later in life, hopefully if you regret it, you'll be able to afford to get it lasered off. So yeah, don't be afraid to do things in college.
Wow. So even a tattoo isn't permanent.
Yeah. Just make good decisions and have fun and don't get arrested.
Jade, why do you sound like you have some experience with this? So this is the last question. What is your why? Why do you do what you do every day? In other words, what cultivates your ambition?
I feel like there's always many reasons to why someone does something. There's always like a personal reason and then there's like a bigger reason. So my personal reason is because I want to make this world a better place because I want to see my impact in the world. And I think that's also one of the reasons why I chose civil engineering. It's funny because during my interview for my job, they asked me, why do you want to work for us? I said, because I want to make an impact in the world and I want to see the projects that I worked on be realized in real world. I want to be able to see what I've accomplished, and that's it. That's one of the reasons why, because I want to physically see my accomplishment. And yeah, that's kind of a selfish reason, but I think if I have to say for the bigger reason, it's that I do want to make the world a better place for people to live in. My experience just being alive is that people, most people are inherently good, and to make the world a better place is not only serving other people, but that also makes it more pleasant for everyone to enjoy life. Yeah, that didn't really sound that ambitious, but be a good person.
No, that was really selfless. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I feel like just being a good person and doing your part in society not only helps your society as a whole, but in turn, it will benefit you.
I agree. But thank you for joining today's call and answering our questions and sharing with the listeners about your background.
Thank you for having me, Sandra. It was a pleasure having this conversation with you.
Thanks for tuning in today, and you can expect a new episode of Advice for Ambition every Wednesday morning. I'm your host, Sandra Liu, and don't forget to stay ambitious.